Welcome to the Express Soul Health and Wellness Podcast. In each episode, you'll learn from experts about the best practices and technologies to live a happier, healthier, and hopefully a longer life. Here is your host, Claudia Erdenola.
Welcome to Express Soul Health and Wellness Podcast. My name is Claudia Erdenola, and today I have a conversation with Asher Cowan. Asher is the co-founder and CEO of Dr. Cowan's Garden. We're going to talk to Asher about nutrition, about nutritional supplements. We can explore reasons why our food is not as nutritious today as used to be 30 years ago. Why we don't have these nutrients as our ancestors did many years ago, and how we can make our food better today. How we can make these meals more nutritious, be more creative in ways to get better nutritional value out of our daily meals. So if you like this subject, please stay tuned. Here is Asher Cowan.
Thanks, Claudia. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Glad to be joining you and excited to share about what we're doing at Dr. Cowan's Garden.
Amazing. So you're the CEO of Dr. Cowan's Garden. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What is the mission of Dr. Cowan's Garden? How all of this idea started?
So a little bit about me. I grew up playing sports a lot. I was also interested in food, cooking, and then had a heavy influence in sort of health and nutrition from my father. He's a doctor. I was practicing doctor for about four decades, and his big thing was health, nutrition, diet, those types of things. So it had a pretty big influence in health, food, and nutrition growing up. Also had a sort of entrepreneurial spirit, but went into the corporate life after college and didn't really like it that much. But then my dad had the idea of vegetable powders. So that was the initial idea for Dr. Cowan's Garden, is a line of vegetable powders. A good way to think of them is seasoning or a spice. You can use them to cook with and add extra nutrition, flavor, and vegetable diversity to your diet. And so he came to me with the idea, and I thought that was a perfect opportunity to sort of leave the corporate world and start something on my own. And that was about 7 years ago, and we've been working together ever since. We've also added a number of different product lines to the lineup, and just really excited about what we have to offer and to share it with you today.
That is wonderful. So those vegetable powders are intended to be a great addition to anybody's meal. So it will basically intensify the nutrient intake. In the nutrition in a regular population, let's say, in your opinion, what would be like the biggest deficiency on the U.S. population, for example, nutrition-wise, and why?
I mean, there's a lot of, we have a lot of deficiencies. I would say that the most pronounced are in the vitamins and minerals that we're supposed to get from the soil and from the plants that we eat. The soil's basically been depleted from nutrition. And an example my dad likes to bring up is back in the sort of our ancestral past, you know, the amount of biodiversity on an average acre of land was, you know, you had animals, you had bugs, you had insects, you had all kinds of wildlife, all kinds of vegetation growing. That is a diverse and abundant ecosystem that has basically been replaced with corn, soy, and wheat. So we've essentially traded off all the nutrient density that the wild would bring for essentially sugar. Corn and wheat and soy, you know, essentially breaks down into sugar, and in the case of soy, an endocrine system disruptor. So it's not a good trade-off. And so we are severely lacking in many different vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients that we're supposed to get from plants and from the soil. With bad soil, with monocropping, with industrial agriculture, we've essentially lost many of these nutrients from our foods. And, a big part of what we do at Dr. Cowan's Garden is source our vegetables and all of the ingredients that we use from the best possible sources, from farmers who are using regenerative agriculture practices, biodynamic farming practices in their on their farms to create the most nutrient-dense soil, which then creates the most nutrient-dense plants and animals for you. And so it's really the vitamins and phyto.
That partnership with those farmers that work their land in a biosustainable way, how do you guys, I would say, keep that communication, or how you guys partner with them in a way that you make sure that that soil really is bringing the nutritional value that you later going to have in your vegetables that you're going to process as powders in Dr. Cowan's garden? How that happened?
Well, yeah, I mean, it starts with a decision on our part to on how we're going to produce the products. So, for example, when we were looking to launch the business, I was looking at many different powder manufacturers for, you know, hey, can you sell us powder? You know, we're starting vegetable powder business, you know, and I would go to these manufacturers and they could sell us as much powder as we wanted. But where does the vegetables come from? We don't know. You know, are they organic? Yeah, maybe technically, but is that really what we wanted for our customers? No. And so what we've done is we've really gotten to know the farmers, you know, so there's videos on our website of the farm. So we've been there, we talk to them, we know who they are and how they raise their animals, how they tend their fields, how they essentially feed their soil. And in the sort of industrial, even organic agriculture business, they're using a lot of times synthetic chemicals and fertilizers. And in the case of organic, they're using, you know, yeah, they might not be synthetic, but it's still just these, you know, these basic NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium fertilizer. And it creates a big and maybe good looking vegetable, but it's not necessarily nutrient dense. And so what we need to do is we need to make sure the farmers are actually feeding their soil with, you know, the compost from their farm. So they're taking spent plants, they're taking animal manure, they're composting that and creating the rich nutrients and vitality that they're then putting into the soil. And that shows up into your vegetables and then into your vegetable powders. And so that's what we've done. We've really gotten to know our farmers. We talk to them all the time. We know how they're doing. We know how they're tending their fields. We know how they're raising their animals. It's a big benefit to us to be partnered with them because they're the ones that are really making a big difference.
You mentioned something that it caught my attention, and there is so much truth in what you said. People that, like me, like many others, try to buy the food 100% organic. When you go to a regular store, you know, you go there, buying your organic vegetables, they display them beautifully. They're shiny. They look great. But the problem with that is that we don't know where they come from. More than likely, they come from huge hydroponic facilities or who knows where, but they still are produced in a massive amount. So yes, they look good, but they won't do any benefit to our bodies. Plus we're paying the price that is incorporated to that. So sadly, that part is out there. People are buying because it feels good to buy them organic. You think you're doing a good thing for us. But at the end of the day, we keep eating lack of nutrient-based food. So the powders make a lot of sense, to incorporate them in the daily meals, as you say, as seasons and many other ways that we're going to learn from you today. But basically, when you guys started like your first selection of plants, what was the first vegetable powder that you started with?
We started with I think it was our 3-beet powder. So beets are, it's a really good for you, really good for blood flow, for energy, for a lot of different things. And so that was one of our first. And we also started with our 3-fold blends. And so the point of the company was to try to get vegetable diversity into people's diets. And so when we talk about vegetable diversity, we're talking about the different parts of the plant. We're talking about the different colors, and we're talking about differences in how they're grown. All of that comes together to provide the full spectrum of nutrition, because you're not going to get the same vitamins and phytochemicals from an orange carrot as you are from a red beet, as you are from a green leafy kale. So you need all the different colors, all the different parts of the plant, you know, the roots, the leaves, the stems, the flowering fruit parts. That gives us the full spectrum of nutrition. And so, you know, we started with the three beet powder and also the threefold blends. The threefold blends, the idea behind that is we're incorporating at least one root vegetable, at least one leafy green vegetable, and at least one flowering or fruiting vegetable like peppers or squash. And so that and all the different colors as well. So in one product, we're giving you the vegetable diversity to give you the full spectrum of nutrition. And as you mentioned, you know, it's something that you can very easily add to just about anything that you're eating. A lot of times people ask me, you know, oh, what vegetable powder should I try first? You know, and I ask them, well, what do you like to eat? And people think that I'm asking, well, what vegetables do you like, so that you can tell me if I say I like kale, then you'll tell me to eat kale powder. And what I'm really asking is, what foods do you like, so that I can pair a powder with that food? So for example, if
that will enhance the flavor, for example.
Exactly. So if you have a child who, for example, maybe only eats potatoes, you know, you can get wheat mashed potatoes or french fries or something like that, but only potatoes. Well, get wheat powder, because wheat pairs really well with potatoes. It has this oniony, garlicky flavor. It goes well with potatoes, eggs, fish, chicken, and those types of things. But that's kind of the point there, is to get something that pairs well with food that you eat, or that you already eat, or that your children will eat. And it's a great way to add flavor, nutrition, and vegetables to any diet, anything you're eating.
Well, that is great that you guys started with the basics, but basically most known vegetables. But I went through some of your offerings in your website, and I came across the one that really caught my attention, and it was the Ashitaba. And I would like to learn more about that. And why is getting so much attention right now, and why so many people still don't know of the benefits?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you noticed that one, because that one kind of is our star and is our top selling product. It despite not many people knowing about it, so it has a whole host of health benefits. It has a huge number of vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, everything like that. But it's been studied as for a treatment for cancer. It's been shown to reduce inflammation, provide energy, longevity. So it has anti-aging properties.
Wow. Is what I hear about anti-aging properties. So is that a plant that grows in the U.S.?
It can, but it's very difficult. So it's native to sort of the Asian islands like Japan, Philippines, Indonesia, those types of places. And so it needs that sort of tropical, wet climate. And so, you know, you can do it here, but it's very difficult. So we have farmers out in California, you know, they have a dry climate, but they have to modify it with shade coverings and lots of water and that type of stuff to get the plant to its fullest potential. But they do a really good job. So everything's domestically sourced and really high quality. But yeah, that one's
just
four stars.
Think about what you're saying here. Imagine us here really getting the benefits of a plant that grows somewhere else. It couldn't be better than in a powder, that it doesn't get spoiled, that you can mix with your meals everywhere you want it. I just think it's a fantastic idea. I think it's terrific that you guys are doing this right now. And if I have children, as you do, I don't have, but for many of my audience out there, they struggle to give them in the daily meals vegetables. I mean, vegetable is kind of like the torture word that a mother will say to a kid. As you're eating your vegetables, you see them, you know, rolling their eyes What do you do with your children to have them eating vegetables? What kind of mix with the powders? Just give us some ideas here.
Oh, yeah. So there's lots of ideas. So the principle that you start with is, you know, children can be picky eaters. I have three children. My oldest is going to be 8 in less than a month. I have a 5-year-old, and my youngest will be 3 in February. So I know quite a bit about struggles with picky eaters. And so what you do there is you take something that they will eat, and then you improve on that. So for example, my kids will eat pancakes. You know, what do you know? They'll eat something, you know, sweet and tasty for breakfast. So they'll eat pancakes.
My niece is the same. Yeah. Pancake.
Right.
How you live out of pancake?
If you're a parent and you're at a point where you can get your children to eat pancakes from a mixed box that you buy from the store. All right, we'll start there. So the first thing to do is maybe add something to that pancake mix that'll increase the nutritional value. So you could do beet powder, which adds a little bit of sweetness. It adds a little bit of the red color, which turns pink in a pancake. But then it kind of cooks off to, you know, brown or whatever the pancake color is. Then I add, you know, you can add burdock powder there that has a little bit of a sweet flavor to it as well. So I add beet powder, burdock powder, and maybe some ashitaba to a pancake mix. So I've already there, I've gotten them 3 different vegetables that people normally wouldn't get their children to eat.
Loaded of nutritional value for them. This is great.
And so, you know, okay, so you start with the box mix or wherever you're starting from. You get to the point where you're adding stuff to that to make it more nutritional. Then you change up the mix. So now you can use some, you know, better quality flour and other ingredients to make the base of this. So you've gotten away from your box. Now you're making the base yourself and then still adding the other ingredients to it to increase the nutritional value. Then from there, you could even take it a step further and make the pancake mix batter the night before and ferment it using some yogurt or whey or lemon juice or something like that. Leave it out overnight. It ferments, creates kind of the beneficial enzymes, helps with digestion, and then still add the good quality, you know, additions later. So you could add the vegetable powders, but you could also add, you know, desiccated liver powders or something like that to the pancake. And now it's like you've gone from a box pancake mix to something that's actually really healthy by adding stuff to it and then changing the base to something. And your kids, they just think they're eating pancakes and they don't know anything.
And so, they love it.
Yeah, they love it. So, you know, I'm getting them to eat 4 vegetables and
yeah, you're making available super nutritious food in such a fun way that anybody can mix up with the normal food and make it a lot more nutritious.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. So, you know, this is the idea coming from the vegetables to make them in the powders. How is the process to make, let's say, the original nutrition from the plant as it is into the powders, that the powders preserve those nutrients that later we can incorporate in our meals? How is the process to make them in the powder to preserve those nutrients? How you guys do that?
Yeah, that's another important factor that goes into our product. So number one, it's the sourcing. You know, it starts with the sourcing. You have to have good quality vegetables to start with. Then it's the processing. Well, I guess then it's, you know, going directly from the farm to the processing center without any sort of middlemen in between, you know, taking time away from
just farm to table.
Right, exactly. So farm to processing center, then processing center, now we're talking about the process. So the general principle is that we get the vegetable or whatever ingredient that we're using, you know, because we have granola, we have nuts, we have nut butters, we have a lot of different, lot of other kinds of products. But starting with vegetable powders, we get the vegetable to where it should be eaten. So for example, a lot of people are eating raw kale salads these days. And kale, it's good for us, but there are some things present in raw form that aren't so good for us. products. So for example, there's kale is high in oxalates. And so a lot of people have oxalate sensitivities, oxalic
intolerance.
Acid. Right. And so, you know, especially if you've had kidney stones or gallbladder issues or something like that, you want to avoid oxalates. And so what we do is we blanch or steam the vegetables to cook them a little bit. What that does is it cooks off the anti-nutrients like the oxalates and goitrogens and those types of things, and gets the vegetable to a place where it's where the nutrients are more bioavailable. So you're better able to absorb the nutrients once the vegetable has been cooked. Then we stop the process and dehydrate it on low heat, so all of the remaining nutrients are preserved. And then that sort of freezes or stops the process in time, and then that gets turned into a powder. So the general principle to summarize is we get the vegetable, or it, you know, if it's a nut for our nut butters or oats for the granola, we get it to where it should be. So nuts and grains need to be soaked or sprouted before you eat them. That breaks down the phytic acid and makes everything more bioavailable, adds in beneficial enzymes, and that's how you should be eating your food. That's a general principle we have with everything, all of our products: high quality sourcing and properly processed, using either blanching, steaming, baking, sprouting, whatever that ingredient needs, that's what we'll do to it.
Okay, that is super interesting. And I'm glad you elaborate a little bit into those, you know, components on the plant, like a scale that are, you know, are having some attention out there, and people saying that some of those people get intolerance on some of those things. And it's good that you remove that. And the powder that we get from Dr. Cowan's garden is just free of that, and is only the good stuff bioavailable for our, you know, daily nutrition. I'm just thinking about the soil. We were talking about it a few years ago. I don't know my audience know this, but I used to be a farmer in a big way. And when I started with my farm, getting my cattle and learning on how to properly, you know, feed them, I learned a lot of nutrition from the University of Tennessee and from the Agricultural Extension in Tennessee when I was. And they came to my farm one day and they told me, Claudia, the most important thing in your farm is your soil. If you are focused on your soil, in the nutrition of this soil, then the grass is going to get that nutrition and the cows will eat the nutrition from the grass. And the end result is an outstanding meat product, milk product. It's just going to be good. And the animal is going to be healthy. It's going to thrive. Thinking about that, I hear you on one of your videos in your website saying that you are what you eat eats. Right. Basically, is like you get the nutrition from, if you are eating plant-based diets, the nutrition comes from the plant that comes from the soil. Same applies to the animal products. And I know that in your Dr. Cowan's garden, you guys are also offering animal products. And I understand you guys had a partnership with a Polyface farm that is a farm in West Virginia, is right?
Virginia. Virginia, Shenandoah Valley.
Virginia. Okay. Yeah. In Virginia. Wonderful. I want to learn more about that because I think it's interesting to learn that you also consider as part of the balanced nutrition for a human, the animal products that lately had been a little bit demonized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And happy to talk about that. You know, the partnership with Polyface Farm, I mean, that's the legend himself, Joel Salatin. I mean, he's one of the, you know, legends in the regenerative agriculture space. And he's, you know, written several books. He's been the focus of many documentaries. I think it was Food Inc., where he was the main farmer featured there. And yeah, he talks about the soil. And, you know, I might even extend, you know, the health of a nation could even be said could be tied to the health of the soil, because, you know, that's where the food comes from. That's where, you know, we can see it today where we just have so much disease and debilitation and all kinds of stuff. And it, you know, it could be tied to the degradation of the soil. The partnership with Polyface, I mean, they use, you know, regenerative practices where they practice rotational grazing. So all their animals are on grass. They're all on out on pasture, getting sun, eating grass. And what they do is they sort of fence off a portion of their pasture, and they'll the cows will be there for a day or maybe two. And then the next day they'll move to another pasture. And so what they have is this, you know, when they move to the next section of the pasture, the previous section gets a chance to regrow and regenerate while they move to the next one. And so they practice this rotational grazing where the pasture gets a chance to be sort of pruned and fertilized by the cows eating and then, you know, fertilizing it with the, you know, the waste. With the manure. And so it gets pruned, it gets the soil, the ground gets aerated and then gets fertilized. And so, and then they're on to the next patch where they get a nice patch of fresh, knee high grass. And then, you know, and then that they continue that process, you know, all the time, essentially into perpetuity. And what it does is it feeds the soil, it aerates the soil, and it gives the cows the best, you know, the best opportunity to have the healthiest grass and the, you know, and everything that comes with that. And so compare and contrast that to your feedlot animals that are fed genetically modified corn and soy that's been sprayed with glyphosate. And I get where, you know, if you're a vegan or something like that, I get how that's, you know, objectionable. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be eating factory farmed meat that's been fed corn and soy either, and probably treated horribly, you know, whereas, you know, you can contrast that with Joel Salatin's farm or Polyface, and the animals are living happy, healthy lives. They're eating grass, they're out in the sun, and it's a completely different, you know, product or whatever you want to call it, steak, burger, that if you were...
It is. And I just think that at some point, we came like full circle. We as humans create all this technology and, you know, all of this machinery to massive produce food, to feed the population, to later understand that we need to go back and relearn from our ancestors the ancestral way to treat the soil, the ancestral way to treat the animals, and how is our relationship with them and how we benefit from those practices today. It's just like relearning from our great, great parents, you know. As I see it, I saw the documentary of the Polyfarm farms, and I saw it as the way that I was doing it on my farm. The chickens were roaming free. I didn't have to feed the chickens. They had plenty of bugs and things to eat on the garden, and the eggs were, you know, the yolks were rich and the shells were hard. I mean, it was, you can see the animals were so healthy. You know, I have goats that they were going around with the cows because they were eating things that the cows won't eat. And everything is just benefit the grass and the ecosystem. They rotated it. You know, actually in one of those visits that I have from the agricultural extension, they were telling me that people don't think that in pastures where they don't have animals on, very soon they will repopulate with other type of species, you know, that are not always beneficial to the soil. And it's because when you have the animals walking and they with the manure and they walk through, they help the oxygenation of the soil, because they make some kind of incisions on the soil as they walk through, and they help all of that oxygen and nutrients to get through. So it's so beautiful to see that when we understand where our food comes from, it's a lot better for us. So what I see on all of these technologies that you guys are using at Dr. Cowan's Garden, transforming those plants and animals in ways that we can take advantage here in the modern life. Not everybody can have a farm. Not everybody can go to the closest farmer to get the food from. But we can try to do other ways to improve our nutritional, you know, intake every day. On the animal products, why is so important to eat nose to tail the animal instead of eating selected cuts like many people do? Why is so important to eat everything out of an animal? Why do you think is so important?
Well, I mean, for one, it's honoring the life of the animal. With my family and how I eat, we buy a whole cow at a time. You know, we have 500-600 pounds of meat in the freezer, and we get it from a neighbor, literally. You know, he's 2 minutes down the street, and that's
lucky. You
I am very lucky, but that is really the way to do it. So you're honoring the life of the animal by not wasting anything, you know, and so that's how it was traditionally done. You know, the Native Americans or whatever, they would, you know, hunt a buffalo, and they would use every single part of it. So honoring the animal is one thing, but also the nutrition that you get from the various parts. You know, organ meats are very nutrient dense, possibly the most nutrient dense foods that you could find, especially liver and those types of things. And so you're getting things that you wouldn't normally get in other cuts of meat, you know, so it's super nutrient dense, and you're just not getting the nutrition that you get from liver or something like that in other cuts of meat. And so really it's those two things to, you know, honor the animal, but also you're missing out on the nutrition if you're not eating the other part. So it's organs, it's bone meat, you know, or bones, you know, so there's marrow in the bone that you can eat, and then you can make you can use the bones to make a nice broth or soup. And so, you know, there's every part of the animal is very good for you. So, you know, bone broth is very
excellent.
I mean, you know, collagen
is loaded with collagen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all types.
It's so good. You know, I come from Colombia, South America. Mm-hmm. And in Colombia, we eat all the animals, I mean, nose to tail, everything. When I came to the States, my husband was like, "What are you doing eating those things?" And I say, "What do you mean?"
Right.
It's normal for me. I mean, I can eat the heart in little pieces with lime as sushi. I had no problem with that. I eat, I cook very little, but I cook the liver. I love it. But I understand that people that are not accustomed to eat the organs, for example, they don't want to try because it had a texture, it had a smell, you know, it's different than a regular meat cut. So what would be a good way to, you know, to intake those nutrients from the organs that is not directly eating the organ raw as I do? What would be another way for us to tell our audience that can do it?
Yeah, well, that's impressive that you're eating it raw. But, even me.
I love it. Like Bruce cannot see me. My husband can't see me. Right. He's like, you walk away.
Yeah. Well, you know, even I, I don't know why I said that, but I struggle sometimes with the intensity of the flavor that some of the organ meats
and the smell. I got that. Yeah. I got that. So how you consume them?
For me, honestly, I consume them in capsules and those types of things. So that's one way. Another way would be to incorporate a small bit of, you know, let's say liver into a big pot of soup, or maybe a big, you know, meatloaf. So for example, you chop up, you know, just a little bit of liver and mix it in with your ground beef or something like that, and have it in liver. And so you're getting a small taste, but it's not something that's going to overpower the taste of the other meat.
And what about the seasoning you have?
Well,
Dr. Cowan's Garden.
I don't know that it's going to overpower the flavor of liver. I mean, that's a pretty strong flavor. But I would load that up with something like leek powder, because that, you know, oniony, garlicky flavor would go well with that. But I think that you're supposed to soak it in milk or lemon juice before. And so that helps to sort of take out that intense flavor.
I don't know if I can try that. If somebody's like, oh no, I can't. I mean, mentally, they're like, I don't want to eat organs. So there are powders and other ways that they can also, you know, get the benefit from them. So we're talking about the nutrition so much in all of these foods and the soil, that the minerals and all of the vitamins that the soil contains comes finally to your body as you intake vegetables and animal products. So what is, in your opinion, the role of the nutrition on the overall state of health of the population? Why do you think it's so important?
Yeah, I would say there's sort of three pillars to health. You know, you have mental nutrition and your physical health. And none are complete without the other two. So if you, for example, have great nutrition and great fitness, but your mentality is such that you're, you know, scared of, you know, some germ out there that might get you sick, and so you inject yourself with a poison and you die of
listening to much the news.
Yeah, and you die of myocarditis, then, you know, the nutrition and fitness didn't really help you. So you have to have your mental faculties working properly, meaning that you are, you know, I would say gratitude, a positive mindset, get away from victim mentality. You know, things happen to me, you know, I can't control it. You're in control of your life, and you are in charge of what happens in your life. And so from a mental standpoint, don't watch the news, don't follow any of this scary stuff, quote unquote, scary stuff out there, because it's all nonsense. I don't want to go unless you want to.
I totally get it. It's a lot of information that can be tremendous, detrimental to the mental health, because you get too worried. That's true. But you can control all of those things, including what you eat. That's totally under each of us control.
Yeah,
that's my take on it.
Yeah, take out the stress and anxiety, and, you know, focus on gratitude. You know, what little things in your life are you grateful for? And once you start focusing on that, you know, life in general just gets a lot better, I found. And then it's nutrition and fitness. You know, they both go hand in hand. It's what you're putting into your body and what you're doing with your body. So you need movement. You need to be out in the sun. You need to be walking barefoot on the earth. And so those two components, in addition to nutrition, you know, no one is complete without the other two. And so, I view health as those three pillars, clear head, positive attitude, no victim mentality, along with physical activity, lifting heavy things or whatever, exercise that you like to do, and then nutrition, which is the baseline for that is animal fat from pasture-raised animals, nuts and seeds that are soaked and sprouted properly, so you're better able to absorb the nutrients and sort of soaking off and getting rid of the phytic acid. And then vegetables, sort of think of those as your vitamin pills. So you get all your vitamins, minerals, and phytochemicals from your vegetables. So those are, you know, so it's kind of like three pillars within that nutrition category. So you have your animal products, you have your fruits and vegetables, and then your nuts and seeds. And so everything processed properly, meaning that you're soaking and sprouting your grains, you're cooking your kale, you're cooking your squash properly. And it's not that difficult. It really isn't.
You're giving us a lot of information about that. And I love that you're going in depth with each of those categories. because, you know, all of these nuts and seeds, they have been also demonized. I mean, you see, we are in the age of communication and information. Everything that, you know, people want to give to information is just getting into, you know, a video. They take a phone and they can make a video, make a post on any of the, you know, social media outlets. Everything is out there. And very often we see like what I call demonization of certain things just because they don't like it. Animal products, horrible. Are you eating cows? Yuck. Primitive. No, I'm super cool because I'm having this green juice. Yeah. I don't want them to see me eating the hard raw. I don't, because they may think I'm not too cool. But the thing is that the misinformation sometimes comes from not knowing that there are ways that we can properly eat those foods. And you just said some of the nuts and the seeds can be sprouted and they're going to be more bioavailable for us. The kale, it should be steamed and properly processed. So when we get it in the way of the powders, they are already removed all of the, you know, non-beneficial effects for our health. So the same thing with the animals. I understand not everybody is able to eat nose to tail animal, you know, got that. But there are ways that they also can implement the benefits of those organs or bone broth and all of those things in a way that is more pleasant and, you know, for them, and still they get the benefit. So with all of that in hand, I will say nutrition in the three pillars are totally in our control. And the main goal of this podcast is to give the people like me, people that are driving their cars right now, they're having kids in a school, or they are living their single lives, or they are going to middle age, or they are older in life or younger, information that help them to maintain their bodies, minds, and souls, improve them, and after all, have a happier life. This is basically the mantra for this podcast. That's why I created it. In a moment that I needed information to solve a situation that I had, I did find it, but I looked for it. And sometimes it's not that easy to find, you know. We talk about Ashitaba today. I'm going to be investigating this thing a lot more. I know me. I want to take that powder because I was reading through the anti-aging benefits of it, and I think it's terrific. It's something that we can take benefit even if it doesn't grow in the States. So all of these technologies, like you guys are doing with your vegetable powders and animal products, is just wonderful because it helps people, normal people like me, to have access to those nutrients we don't have normally in our daily lives. So tell me something else, Asher. What do you think about the pharmaceutical drugs and the modern medicine related to the health of the population?
Well, I think pharmaceutical drugs are killing the population. I think that we are working on we're working from a fundamentally flawed model of what the body is, why it gets sick, and how we recover from being sick. So I think that pharmaceutical drugs are essentially there to manage the symptoms from a disease, but they don't do anything to cure the underlying cause of that disease. So a good example of this is, let's say you have a splinter in your hand. And so your body has a response to the splinter. You know, if you leave the splinter in, you're going to start to get pus. It's going to get red. It might get infected. And so you go to your doctor and they give, well, you've got an infected finger there. We're going to give you antibiotics. And so you take the antibiotics and maybe the infection goes away temporarily. But if you don't do anything about the splinter, the underlying cause of why your finger got infected and started producing pus, then you're not going to get rid of the infection. It's just going to come back. And your body's response to this is to say, you know, we're going to start to produce pus to try to get this thing out of us. We're going to get infected because we have a foreign object in us. And so you need to take care of the underlying problem rather than treat the symptoms. And so that's that simple example of that splinter and you taking antibiotics to treat the infection does nothing to get to address the underlying cause of the illness. And I think that simple example is can be extrapolated to just about every other disease that we have. And, you know, there's a pill or something like that that people think is going to make them better. But what it really does is just
the magic pill so for everything.
Exactly. And
prevention is the key. Working from the prevention instead of the disease, the treatment of the disease. In this podcast, we're interviewing a lot of doctors in different specialties, and in many of them may agree with us and say, if we prevented that from happening, what we have to treat maybe is something minimal in comparison when with somebody show up with the disease already big, you know, is the cause wasn't treated appropriately. So now the consequence, we have to address the consequences and try to prevent that from happening again. But prevention, in my opinion, is the key of all of the, I would say, the overall health condition of the population. If we understand and we take responsibility for our nutrition, for our mental health, for, you know, being on the sun, for understanding that our body, mind and spirit are together with the nature. We are part of it as they are. We understand that we are the water, we are the soil, we are the elements, and the animals are part of us too, and the plants. We understand that responsibility, we can be healthier. It's just that I think the whole focus hasn't been on prevention. I think we are in a big awakening right now, just opening our minds, and you know, outlets like this, when we talk about it, open people's minds into the prevention. And what can I do from my own perspective, from my own life? What can I do to improve the health, the overall state of health of myself and my family? How can I affect that? You know, ultimately, the cost of not doing it is very high, not only economically, it's also the suffering of diseases and conditions that are difficult to treat.
Yeah, oftentimes people say, you know, I don't have time to look after my health. It's like, well, if you don't have time now, you're going to have to make time later when you're trying to manage your illnesses. And so, you know, this kind of speaks to the mentality that we have in the modern day, where we want these quick fixes, or, you know, the instant gratification, the quick fixes. And this even speaks to your point about the disinformation or misinformation about there. You know, we're looking for, you know, let's say, you know, someone goes vegan and they might feel really good for a little while. You know, they're probably detoxing from the factory farm meat that they've been consuming. And so for a while, they might feel really good. And so then they might go on TikTok and create a 30-second video explaining how going vegan is the best thing in their life. And then...
Who's the best?
Yeah. And then, you know, our attention span, say, oh, 30 seconds, vegan, great, let's do it. And so that contributes to the misinformation out there, because people, you know, anyone can go out there and spew stuff, and we have short attention spans that most people are, you know, only paying attention to 30-second clips. And it's podcasts like this and other things like that that you could really take a deep dive into figuring out what is really going on. How do I really get and maintain a healthy lifestyle? And, you know, prevention, obviously, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You know, we know that old saying, but it's really about that and understanding really what makes, what we're made of and what makes a healthy body.
That's true. So think about this. Isn't a stat that I look onto the internet the other day, that in the U.S. health system, we spend over $4 trillion currently. expected to be close to $6 trillion by the year 2028. And yet, the United States, with all of those resources we spend into the healthcare system, ranked about 36 in the world, in the modern world, compared with other countries. What are we doing wrong? Why we're not number one in the state of health of our population?
Well, we have a model that's focused on the wrong model of what the human body actually is, and the economic model that's built on top of that goes to treating and managing disease, so that you want a lifetime customer as opposed to a one-time customer where you cure their illness. You'd rather have a lifetime customer where you're managing that symptom, but not curing them. So that becomes your cash cow if you're a pharmaceutical company. You know, you don't want someone to actually get better because then they stop taking your medication. So if they actually got better, they would stop, and you wouldn't sell as many drugs. And so it's really working off a flawed model of what the human body is, which is basically we're made up of structured water. And if we get that structured water correct, or we get our water properly structured in our bodies, then we're going to have a healthy body. And we can, you know, go into more details about sort of how you do that. But it's basically all the stuff that we talked about before: grounding on the earth, you know, walking barefoot on the earth, getting plenty of sunshine, eating a healthy diet, having a positive mindset, no victim mentality. And that sort of your thoughts, your energies, your emotions, your food, your movement all creates that structure in your body, which creates, you know, the resonant frequencies within your body that creates the, you know, the coherent structure that makes up you.
Is the holistic approach to health and wellness. The holistic means is not only your body, it is your body, your mind, and your soul. It's the connection that you have with your emotions, with your thoughts, with the gratitude of the place we are, and understanding that if it's something that is not working properly with our beings, we can change it. We are driving this car. We are responsible for what we're eating, the information that we're reading or listening that may be polluting our minds. Maybe it's a good time for us to turn off the bad stuff or being quiet, or tune in more informative channels such as this one and many good others, where they're gonna openly share valuable information that is actually helpful. I just want to tell our audience out there that all of the links to the amazing recipes that Asher was talking about and the website are going to be linked in the description of this podcast. And as I said, information is out there. It's just taking the time and listening and reading, other ways of living better and ultimately living happier. So all of this is wonderful. Is something else you want to tell us? Maybe something on the cooks at Dr. Cowan's Garden, some products that you may be working on that you want to share with us that may be great for us to know?
Yeah, so we just launched a line of really awesome tallow-based skip care products. So, you know, soaps,
my God, tell us about it.
Yeah, so grass-fed, grass-finished tallow balm. So, like, you know, so your face.
Do I have one here?
Yes, I do. Right here. There we go. So this is a comfrey tallow balm. So
I gonna try that. I love it.
Yeah, it's really good. And so we source it from grass-fed and grass-finished cows, and it's really important that it's grass finished as well. So all cows are grass fed up until a certain point, and then they're finished on grain and soy and corn and all that stuff to get them fat.
To make them fat, right.
But when you finish it with grass, then the fat around the kidney is exactly what the skin needs. It's the exact sort of protein profile that the skin needs. And so We partnered with a manufacturer that they grow a lot of the herbs that they use, that they infuse into this. So they've infused comfrey and there's coconut oil and olive oil, extra virgin olive oil in this. And so they've grown the comfrey on with the tallow. They grow the comfrey on their farm, source the grass-fed, grass-finished tallow. And we have soaps, balms, lip balms, and we're going to come out with other products as well. And then also coming on the deck, hopefully soon, is a line of biodynamically grown herbs. So you mentioned a word earlier, ecosystem. So this is this also, I want to just make this point about the sourcing and the farms and that kind of stuff. So a biodynamic farm is like 10 steps above and beyond a sort of USDA organic standard. Think of it as like a closed ecosystem. They're not allowed to bring any outside inputs onto the farm. So everything is sort of recycled and used on the farm. And so we're coming out with biodynamic herbs. And then we found a source for maybe the best olive oil that I've ever had, probably definitely that I've ever had, and directly sourced from the farm in Greece. And so hopefully spring of 2023, that'll be out.
So we have to stay tuned with your website to see that.
Yes, a lot of cool stuff happening.
Definitely the skincare is something that caught my attention, because talking about ancestors, my mother was beautiful. Her skin was amazing. Her hair was crazy beautiful. And why? Because they used the tallow. They used to boil the legs of the cow, the bones, until they take all of that fat, that, you know, all of that marrow bone with the fat that was, you know, basically getting on top of the water after boiling it, put it on the hair. You know, we're talking about Colombia, South America, where the resources were not too available. Yeah. So people use a lot of creativity to use the animal products for beauty. And it worked.
Yeah. There you go. I bet it did.
So I need to try that. Definitely is. I think it's a terrific idea. As everything else that we discussed today, I hope our audience find informative, and intellectually stimulating. You know, this is what we want to do here. And I appreciate your time today, Asher. And we hopefully have you here again, probably next year. So we want you to tell us a lot about that olive oil and the other products that you're going to be doing on Dr. Cowan's garden.
Awesome. I'd love to. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you very much for your time. And until next time, remember, health is wealth for the body, mind, and soul. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you very much for listening. And if you like the information that we shared with you today, please subscribe to the Express Soul Health and Wellness podcast and follow us in the social media outlets of your choice. Until next time, please remember, health is wealth for the body, mind, and soul.